Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
What a great story. Let's start out with some good news here on this Monday, February 3rd. I think the story came out on a Friday. It must have been Friday afternoon or Friday evening. You want to bury a story, get that story out on a Friday, but let's not let last Friday or the snow day today facing many of you keep this good news story buried. Let's talk about the good news here. This is from Joey Taylor, a multimedia journalist with the nonstop local TV stations, and hat tip to Representative Lucas Schubert, that young man out of Kalispell, Montana, for flagging this one on X. That's how I saw this story, was through a tweet that Lucas Schubert had sent. In fact, I should go see what he said while he shared this tweet with us here. I'll get to that. I'll track that one down here. Oh, yeah, here we go. He says, Montanans are getting it done. Keep it up. Yeah, amen to that one here. So what is getting done? Well, you've got the U.S. Border Patrol agents and sheriff's deputies, specifically the Sanders County Sheriff's Operation. Let's tell you about what they've been up to here. First, the good news headline. Citizen reports lead to multiple Border Patrol arrests in Hungry Horse, Columbia Falls, and Thompson Falls. On January 27th, 2025, this is according to Joey Taylor, U.S. Border Patrol Spokane sector reports that agents from the Whitefish Station apprehended five individuals in Hungry Horse. The arrests followed a report from a local citizen. By the way, folks, let me tell you real quick here. If you weren't aware, ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, they now have a tip form on their website. So if you know or you suspect that there is an illegal alien in your town or in your community, I agree with you. Not in our town. Let's get these illegal aliens out of here. They can come through the legal way like everybody else. There's a tip sheet so you can report these people. Now, then the authorities will obviously do the right investigation to make sure that, you know, whether they're here legally or not. Nonstop local reports that the individuals are currently in custody and will undergo processing for removal from the United States. In another incident, agents from the Whitefish Station also apprehended four individuals near Columbia Falls on January 30th. This apprehension was similarly prompted by a report from a local citizen, and those individuals are also set to be processed for removal. Again, another local citizen being a good, upstanding, legal, law-abiding citizen and assisting the authorities. Apparently there was some law enforcement action in Thompson Falls that led to the arrest of four individuals from Peru as well. Agents from the Bonners Ferry Station teamed up with deputies from Sanders County Sheriff's Office on that operation. Great job by all around, rounding up the illegal aliens and getting them the heck out of our state.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, phone lines are open for you, 406-294-0970. If you want to jump in on the conversation, you can also message us on the Montana Talks app as well. Let's start with Tom. Our producer didn't hear what town you're calling in from, but Tom, great to hear from you. Where are you calling in from this morning?
Bozeman area.
Oh, okay, great. Well, what's going on?
I just wanted to chime in a little bit, 2 cents on this immigration. I guess the best estimates in the Biden era with somewhere between 12, 15 million illegals into the country, something like that. I guess no one really knows. But anyway, I'll cut to the chase. You know, I look at social media and Facebook and this and that, and it's just amazing how all the leftists and liberals are crying about how, oh, you know, vegetables and lettuce will never be able to afford it if they, you know, get rid of all these people. And my response to them is, well, in the years prior to Joe Biden, before they let in all these illegals, who was picking the lettuce and the crops then?
Yeah, good
so,
point.
You know, it's like, oh, it all just happened in 4 years. Now we're not going to have any rutabagas, you know?
Yeah, we had shepherds guarding Montana sheep, you know, legally through legal farm work programs before the invasion of the last 4 years. We'll have them after, right? We had legal farm workers picking cherries in the Flathead through legal farm programs before, and they'll continue after. Yeah, Stephen Miller really destroyed that argument. He was on with Jake Tapper, and he laid out the numbers of just exactly how these people that have invaded this country in the last 4 years, they're not picking produce. They're in the cities.
And
they're
also
driving up crime rates.
I have a little analogy, too. So, you know, in the Civil War, or prior to the Civil War, you know, we had all of our black slaves, and not ours, but they were the black slaves picking cotton. It's like, oh, the country won't survive without the blacks to pick cotton, so 500,000 Americans dead at the conclusion of the Civil War. And along came Eli Whitney and invented the cotton gin. So,
well, technically that came around beforehand, and they thought that that would help do away with slavery, but unfortunately it actually made it worse. But yeah, your broader point, the Southern Democrats were saying, well, if we do away with slavery, who's going to pick all of your crops? Kind of like right now they're saying, well, if we do away with the human trafficking, illegal immigration, who's going to pick all your crops? And great point.
On another note, it's like, well, I didn't realize that Sunday Aragua and MS-13 were out there picking lettuce when they went out killing people. So,
they weren't picking lettuce. They were picking off apartment complexes and robbing homes and dealing drugs and murdering people. And, yeah, they weren't picking lettuce. Very good point as well there, Tom. Thanks for the call. 406-294-0970 is the number for you if you want to jump in on the conversation here as well. John Fetterman, you know, again, I think Fetterman's being overplayed a little bit here. I think when push comes to shove, he's still going to follow the party line back in the United States Senate. By the way, did you hear Chuck Schumer was whining? Oh, if we enforce the border laws, where are you going to get your avocados from? How are you going to get your guacamole? I think the guacamole is going to be fine, Chuck. You don't know how to cook a burger to put the guacamole on anyway, but I think the guacamole is going to be fine. And I think we're fine doing without guacamole for a little while, if that's what it takes. But John Fetterman, you know, he's not afraid to actually disagree with the party narrative from time to time. John Fetterman was on Fox News. He's a Democrat senator out of Pennsylvania, the guy who showed up wearing shorts and a hooded sweatshirt at the presidential inauguration in the Capitol 2 weeks ago today. Listen to what he told Fox News Sunday.
So what obligations do or don't you think local officials have with respect to the feds and these deportations?
I hope every local official would agree that anyone here, any of the migrants that are here with criminal backgrounds or engaging in criminal behavior, I think they should support that. Now, if ICE comes to round them up, I hope they would provide that kind of support. I certainly would never support terrorizing otherwise innocent migrants in those kinds of situations or kicking in a door at a school. But I think we can all agree that every migrant here with a criminal background or engaging in criminal behavior should all need to go.
Yeah, which is every single one of them. Every single one of them engaged and is currently engaged in illegal criminal behavior when they cross that border illegal and when they remain here illegally. But I like what Fetterman's saying there. Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. Ask not what ICE can do for you, but what you can do for ICE. And it sounds like we've got some great citizens here in Montana who have already used that tip form, put that tip form to work. And that's why we have that good news headline that we shared earlier about multiple arrests now in Hungry Horse, Columbia Falls, Thompson Falls, Montana, with, I imagine, more operations underway or soon to be underway. Ask not what the Border Patrol can do for you. They're starting to do it now with the real commander-in-chief back in Washington. Ask what you can do for your Border Patrol. Again, public service announcement, friendly PSA for you here. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE, now has a little tip form. If you see something, say something. Ask what you can do for your country. 406-294-0970.
Taking your calls live. 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
That's racist. Yeah, that's racist. You can't just assume that all of these illegal aliens are from Mexico or are Latino. Well, first off, I'm just glad you said Latino and not Latinx like you were trying to force people to have to say a couple years ago. Yeah, no joke. That's what these people are saying. There was this tiny group of protesters that were out in front of the Metro Park in Billings on Saturday. I don't think they're out there today. Just like the climate kids are not out protesting in front of Colstrip or the natural gas power plant in Laurel today either. They're not protesting global warming today. But yeah, they said, oh, you're just racist because I referred to these pro-illegal alien protesters as the friends of the drug cartel. That's racist. Oh, first off, nobody ever said that these illegal aliens are Mexican or Latino. In fact, as we've talked about this illegal alien invasion, we talked about the 50,000 Chinese nationals who flooded into this country in the last 2 years. We talked about the Iranians who flooded into this country. 117 different countries that invaded this country in the last 4 years. Different languages. And when we talk about deporting illegal aliens, we mean the white Russians too. We didn't say, ah, deport everybody. Ah, but keep the white Russians, though. Now you can keep the white Russians here. I want to break down a little bit more of just some of the absurd things that the friends of the drug cartel, as I refer to them, protesters, are saying. It was a small group. But anyway, I'll give you a little bit of a play-by-play here in a second. But we want to hear from you. 406-294-0970. We got Chris in Billings next up. Chris, thanks for the call. What's on your mind?
Hey, Aaron. I was thinking, you have to kind of parse it down. What's cool is that they're giving the new media more of a voice on the national front. And what's going to happen is these people that either haven't heard any of these talking points or information or finally get to hear it, they can make up their own mind on what's going on. And the other thing they're using, especially on these confirmations, these focus group talking points to try to get their sound bites from these. Have you noticed that?
Yeah. So there's a few different ways this has happened. So President Trump and the White House, they freed up a seat in the White House press, you know, room there, the East Wing, where they do all the press conferences, and they've opened that up to a new or non-traditional media source. I think One American News gets a slot in there, some others. But then over at the Pentagon, they gave the New York Times the boot. Which is great. Why would you allow the enemy access into your camp anyway, right? Like, hey, we're watching, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, they gave NBC News, fake news NBC, the boot, and then they've allowed, so Christina Wong, for example, She's a great correspondent. She used to be with ABC News. She's a national security correspondent with Breitbart News. She's going to have a seat. And it not only gives other outlets the ability to get out other information that the New York Times and NBC don't want you to know or hear about, but it also gives those people the chance to ask some questions of those officials that otherwise might not get asked. And that and so yeah. So to a certain extent, like if you're at the Pentagon, no matter who the president is or no matter who the SecDef is, and you're only getting questioned on from a certain viewpoint, you start to get, you know, Stockholm syndrome and think, well, this is what the American people are concerned about. And you start catering to that. This will fundamentally, I think, help to break up that dynamic where no, you're going to have people in there that are going to ask questions that the American people actually care about, not just some left-wing shill.
Yeah, finally, and the other thing, I'll make another point and I'll let you go. You know how the Dems were always lockstep on all their talking points? Finally, we have people that can counter all the talking points and make the information known. And, you know, some of the things that they're not going to hear from the regular media, finally.
Well, and Chris, stick with me here for a second because I want to get your take on this, too.
Yeah.
I think also we the people, we're not putting up with their Adam Schiff anymore. You know, this whole, you know, here's the thing. I am not afraid of them calling me a racist. I will call them on their Adam Schiff all day long. I don't know. Maybe it's because I grew up in Northeast Montana and I started working at a young age and my mom was a hard worker as a single mom and my dad was a hard worker as a single dad after they got divorced. So I don't feel the need to put up with your Adam Schiff. I don't need to be lectured by you about privilege. But also, maybe it's because I went to Howard University and I was one of six white people in the undergraduate at the time. So don't come to me with this, oh, white man, privilege, racist BS. We are calling you on your Adam Schiff, and you don't get to sit back and pretend one week to care about missing and murdered indigenous women, and then last Saturday show up in defense of the very illegal aliens that are targeting Native American women with drugs and so much more, right? Like, so it's time to just stop being bullied and intimidated by these race-baiting hustlers, the Al Sharptons of Montana, and call them on their Adam Schiff.
Yep. All right on. But like I said, it's about darn time.
That's right. Hey, all right. Well, great to hear from you, Chris. I appreciate the phone call. 406-294-0970. Now, that being said, I'm also happy to hear what the other side has to say. That's why, you know, during our weekly legislative update, we've got the Democrat leadership joining us. We've got the Republican leadership joining us. And if any of those left-wing protesters want to call into the show, or if they need a special invite, well, consider this your special invite. You can join us right now. You can call in. Or if you need to be special and have a time scheduled, we can schedule a time for you. But or you can just, you know, call in like everybody else. 406-294-0970. Let's go to Nate in Fort Benton. Great to hear from you, Nate. What's going on? Whoa, hey, I must have talked too long. Okay, Nate, give us a call back. We want to hear from Fort Benton. Beautiful country. The snow is really going to be heading your way in the next 48 hours based off of what we are hearing. Nate, what did Nate tell you, Caden? He wanted to say something about immigration and American flags. Now, this is my assumption here. Nate, message us on the app if you're busy, if I get this wrong. My assumption is that Nate must have been seeing some of the protests in Los Angeles. He must have seen some of the propaganda from the small protest in Billings, Montana over the weekend. And he must have seen all of the foreign flags that were being flown at some of these protests. Isn't that interesting? It shows you where the allegiance is with some of these folks. Okay, Nate's back. All right. Nate, was my assumption right? Was it wrong? What did you want to add?
No, so I missed a little bit of what you're just saying, but I just wanted to mention how I would love to have a conversation with somebody on the other side, other than the fact that I know a lot of it is going to be a lie to me because they're so good at messaging.
Talking points, yeah, you're right, yeah.
We call them what they are. They're illegal alien invaders. and they use the term migrant. And we, because they're okay with lying to us.
Or undocumented. Okay, or undocumented, right? Undocumented. Yeah.
Exactly. And so I don't want an authoritarian right, and I don't want an authoritarian left. We need both sides to come together to get the best solution.
Well, and I think when it comes to this topic, and when it comes to protecting kids from the radical transgender agenda, protecting women's safe spaces, I think most Americans are united. But too many in the media and too many on the left, they want you to think that we are not united. They want you to think that they get to do whatever they want to do, chop body parts off of kids, allow men to take women's sports opportunities away, flood the borders with illegal aliens. They want you to think that by you speaking up against what they're doing, that you're the one who's being divisive. You're the one who's trying to divide Americans. Well, no, Americans and Montanans are overwhelmingly united when it comes to illegal immigration, when it comes to protecting women's sports, women's safe spaces. Hey, Zoe Zephyr, you want to chop off your own body parts? You do your thing, but keep the kids alone. I think the overwhelming majority of Montanans agree on those issues, and I think they were all driving factors in the November elections.
Oh, absolutely. My brother actually is in the House, and he sat between two of the transgenders in the House last session. And he was able, because we're decent people, he was able to actually deal with them, you know, decently. He wanted to listen to their views, because that's what we do as decent people. So I also wanted to quickly mention, if you have a minute, I'm actually from Eureka, and I'm traveling the state with my nonprofit Flying Freedom Forward, trying to help each small town in Montana put up a giant American flag.
Oh, cool.
And there's a council meeting. I have a picture of you in front of the giant flag I let the Republican dinner use in Kalispell a few years ago.
Oh, that was incredible. The one that filled up the entire backdrop of the stage?
Yep.
That was incredible.
To Dr. Al, so you guys could have a nice backdrop.
Oh, that was incredible. That, some of my favorite pictures were from, I was emceeing that Lincoln Reagan Trump dinner, and yeah, that flag, you felt like we were in a hangar at an airport, like with, you know, freaking SEAL Team 6 or somebody, because that flag was so awesome.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. I had a lot of pictures with James Brown and Representative Gohmert in front of it. And so tonight there's a council meeting here in Fort Benton, and I'm trying to convince the town to let me help them put up a giant American flag on an 80-foot flagpole here in Fort Benton.
That's awesome.
And count to me tonight at 6:30 if I can get people in the area that are listening to show up to it in support of it.
Hey, hold that thought. Nate, if you can, because I know people elsewhere across Montana want to hear about this and what they can do in their town as well. If you can stand by, we've got a quick break here. I'll come back to you. And then Steve in Belgrade next up on the phone lines after Nate. Now, this is really cool what you're doing. All right, stand by.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordland.
USDA's January 1st cattle inventory report was down 1% compared to a year ago. The annual report was released Friday, and the inventory totaled 86.7 million head, 1% below 87.2 million head last year. USDA livestock analyst Mike McConnell.
7 of our 11 western states experiencing D3 or D4 on the U.S. drought monitor. That coverage is led by Wyoming at 22% drought coverage of D3 or D4, followed by Arizona at 21%. Also in double digits at the end of January, we have Nevada coming in at 11% with extreme or exceptional drought. And California, on the strength of that significant drought in the southern part of the state, 12% of California experiencing extreme drought at the end of January. Some of that D3 and D4 extends onto the plains. Texas, 16% coverage of extreme or exceptional drought, along with 8% in Nebraska and 4-5% in the Dakotas. We still have extreme drought coverage, D3 in 34% of New Jersey and 9% of Delaware.
While states like Wyoming saw a 3% decrease in cattle herd inventory, Montana saw a 1% increase to 2.16 million head. However, that still remains well below the 2017 level of 2.65 million head of cattle. I'm Lane Nordland.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we've got some great callers on the line. We've got phone lines open for you as well, 406-294-0970. Or you can message us on the Montana Talks app as well. I'm glad it's like single digits and snowing outside of our studios right now because, man, not this Friday, but the next, we'll be in Glendive for the Gate Show, the Glendive Agri-Trade Expo. So looking forward to seeing all of our friends in eastern Montana and those who travel from across the entire region there at the Gate Show in Glendive now. In less than 2 weeks, we'll be there with another live show. Nate in Fort Benton. Nate, this is so cool what you're doing. You mentioned there's a meeting in Fort Benton tonight where you're going to talk more about how you can help display this gigantic American flag over Fort Benton. You said you put one up in Eureka as well, and people have really loved that one. So what are you offering up, and what are you asking for from these various communities across Montana in your efforts?
So what I'm offering up is my 100% support and drive and time and helping each community put it up. And I bring a flag and a time capsule to each town I'm going to go to and just gift them the flag and time capsule, which is about a $5,000 package, and it's a deal. And then I'm just going to be able to spend time on the ground with each individual business and each individual person and raise funds and basically have statewide outreach to help each town fund their flagpole efforts.
That's great. Do you have like a website or a way for people to contact you if they're saying, hey, yeah, I want to do that in my town?
So the nonprofit that I started is called Flying Freedom Forward. And they can reach out on Facebook at Flying Freedom Forward or flyingfreedomforward1776@gmail.com. I'm just a redneck from Eureka. I'm not very good at technology and stuff, so I haven't been able to set up a website yet. But if anybody wants to reach out and give me a hand and helping set that up, that'd be great too. But I'm just willing to give 100% of my time and effort to each individual town around the state to help them erect a symbol of freedom that is the second greatest symbol of freedom that man has ever known, following the cross.
Yeah, well said. Well, and that flag is the symbol of unity. That flag is the symbol of in our Constitution, and that's what people need to be reminded of everything that should unite us. Nate, thanks for what you're doing. Very cool. I know you're going to send me more info and then some photographs via email, aaron@montanatalks.com, and then I'll get that on our Montana Talks website as well in case anybody, you know, missed any of the information, or sometimes people need to hear it and then they need to see it too. So we'll let them get a chance to see what you're doing. Thanks so much for what you're doing and for calling in. Next up on the phone lines, let's go to Steve in Belgrade, listening to 1450 KMMS. Steve, what's going on?
Well, I got some information here. You know, it's amazing what the international bankers have done to we the people. Today in America, we practice all 10 planks of the Communist Manifesto, which how we got here, I think, is public education. That's the, that's the fifth plank of the, no, that's the central bank is the fifth one. Tenth plank of the Communist Manifesto is public education. That's how we got to where we are today. I've had these documents, and I've been moving around, and I finally found them. It's a little book that was put together. It's documents about what happened to the Constitution, a story about a corporate takeover that history forgot to tell you about, and how the United States person became enemy and slave to the United States. And there's supposed to be a video along with this thing, but I've had this for I don't know how long, and I don't know if I got it.
And what's the biggest takeaway? If you had to summarize the most important takeaway from your perspective, how would you communicate that to folks across Montana?
Well, you know, it's like we're on this ship, and we're taking water, but we haven't sunk yet. And this is what's been going on for the last basically 10 years with Trump. They are scared to death of that man.
Wow, what a summary. And yet look at what Trump is already doing here in the first 2 weeks. You know, so after we got the Gates Show in Glendive here coming up in just under 2 weeks, I think it's March 7th, I'll be at the Dawson County Lincoln Reagan dinner. And this was kind of a question. I don't know what I'm going to talk about there yet, but this was kind of a question I almost wanted to pose to people is, do you think President Trump, he was a strong president his first term. Look at everything he accomplished his first term. Look at the economic gains that we saw in President Trump's first term. But do you think that he would be as strong as he is now and delivering as much as he is now if he didn't face the persecution of not just the last 4 years, but the last 10 years, frankly? I mean, look at the way he is roaring out of the gates right now. Elon Musk with the Department of Government Efficiency. You know, we're $36 trillion in debt. Doge is already cutting billions of dollars in spending every single day. Elon Musk shared a list of more than 100 DEI-related contract cancellations that resulted in more than $1 billion worth of savings. And he says they're on track to likely get to reducing the federal deficit from $2 trillion to $1 trillion in FY 2026, which requires them cutting an average of $4 billion a day in projected 2026 spending from now to September 30th. And he basically says that they are on track. He is cautiously optimistic that they would reach that $4 billion a day by this weekend. I mean, and then you look at the 93% reduction in illegal border crossings that we're already seeing here in the first 2 weeks of the Trump administration. We're seeing him calling, he's basically calling out the senior echelons of the FBI saying resign or be fired. He is cleaning out this weaponized government in this deep state. And he's racking up other wins. I mean, Venezuela, we had a caller earlier talk about Venezuela, Tren de Aragua, this illegal alien, violent Venezuelan prison gang that's been allowed to invade America. Donald Trump has been sending plane loads of illegal aliens back to Venezuela, and Venezuela's taking them. And oh, by the way, Rick Grenell, who was served a couple of different roles in President Trump's first term, Rick Grenell, on behalf of the President of the United States, personally traveled down to Venezuela and just brought seven American, I'll call them hostages, home from Venezuela. And then Marco Rubio just traveled to Panama. And after President Trump's tough talk on trade and his threats, Panama now just said, okay, we're going to end these deals with China controlling both ends of the Panama Canal. And oh, by the way, we're going to stop charging your American Navy vessels all these fees when they travel through the Panama Canal that you built. Look at this. And this is just the first 2 weeks. Absolutely incredible. And now everybody's off, you know, well, not everybody. The mainstream media and some of these others, they're trying to get you freaked out. Oh, what's he going to do to Canada? Look at what Justin Trudeau has done to Canada. My goodness. Anyway, apparently later this afternoon, Trump is meeting with Trudeau once again, and he's meeting with the Mexican president as well. Donald J. Trump just posted this on Truth Social just a few minutes ago. Canada doesn't even allow U.S. banks to open or do business there. What's that all about? Many such things, but it's also a drug war, and hundreds of thousands of people have died in the U.S. from drugs pouring through the borders of Mexico and Canada. Just spoke to Justin Trudeau. We'll be speaking to him again at 3 p.m. And so anyway, that's the update on that front there. But the other thing about Canada, why do we feel like we need all of this timber from Canada? We've got our own timber supplies here. We've lost dozens of sawmills in Montana. And yet the very same left-wing judges that have shut down these sawmills here in Montana are the same ones who, oh, no, what if we don't get access to Canadian timber? Oh, Donald Trump. Oh, cry me a freaking river, Selena Gomez. 406-294-0970. Kevin in Billings, you'll be first up right after the break. Plus, we got Ty on the phone lines as well. And you can message us on the Montana Talks app. Also, if you want to just shoot us a quick message here. Phone lines are open for you. Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk and be heard all across Montana. Always makes it fun, keeps it lively, and you pick up some great information along the way.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Did you guys ever watch Bugs Bunny? Remember the old school cartoons, Bugs Bunny? What a bunch of maroons. What a bunch of maroons. Why is Donald Trump talking so tough to Panama? Why is China controlling both ends of the Panama Canal? Well, they're not going to be any longer, thanks to Donald Trump talking tough on Panama. I've got some new breaking news that just came out as well. You can play James Taylor's Oh Mexico during the next hour for you music stations out there. Oh Mexico by James Taylor. I'm not going to sing it. My dad's the singer, not me. I don't want to get you to turn off your radio. This early in the morning. Breaking news. This just came in from Fox News right as we went to the last break. Why is Donald Trump talking tough to Mexico? Why is Donald Trump talking tough to Canada? All right, here's the breaking news. Mexico agrees to deploy 10,000 troops to the U.S. border in exchange for tariff pause. Ding, 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 ding. But keep sending out your whiny tweets about, why is Donald Trump talking tough? Keep tweeting. Keep tweeting. Elon Musk appreciates it. Let's go to Kevin in Billings. Kevin, what's on your mind? Thanks for the call.
Hi, Aaron. A couple things. I want to let people know about my podcast, Rocky Mountain Freedom Zone, but I also wonder how come we haven't heard anything about drilling here in North America yet, the Keystone Pipeline or anything like that.
Well, we've heard a little bit about the Keystone Pipeline, Alberta's premier. I got a story on our Montana Talks website right now. I put it up, I think, last Thursday. Alberta's premier, she's been doing some good things. She sounds like she's trying to be the leader that Justin Trudeau ain't and can't be, right? She's the reason why the energy tariff would only be 10% instead of 25%. She met with Trump, but she did say that they are actually actively working to get something like the Keystone Pipeline up and running. I also mentioned I ran into a couple of Canadians on Capitol Hill who said they're working on that very project. So stay tuned on that one. Yeah, most of what we've heard so far has been President Trump doing away with all the anti-American energy, you know, orders that came down from Joe Biden and freeing that up, right? But yeah, but I'm with you. It'll be fun to start hearing about more domestic production exploration. Maybe we start to see some more drilling rigs showing up in the Bakken and elsewhere, right?
Yeah, well, speaking of Canadian politics, watch for the election. I think Pierre, I can't remember his last name. He's the Donald Trump candidate. He's supposed to be running whenever that election is.
Yep.
So pay attention to that election.
Yeah, Pierre Poilievre, I think is how you pronounce it. I can't remember. Jordan Peterson just had him on his podcast. I still need to go back and listen to that episode. Yeah, he's the guy, John Jackson, the Joker from X, told us. Pierre Poilievre was the guy. Remember when he was being interviewed by some liberal media reporter and he just kept eating his apple and then just responding with facts to this reporter who is, you know, being all sensationalistic?
I think so.
Yeah, that's the guy.
Yeah, so hopefully, I hope he'll win. I don't know when the Canadian election is. It was supposed to be in March, and now I'm not sure when it is.
Yeah, I know it's probably, it's not too far around the corner, but then again, for our friends in Canada, it's not near enough before they can get rid of that guy and really that whole regime. What a travesty that has been for our friends in Canada. I wonder if they're still trying to confiscate everybody's guns up there, or if Trudeau has a little more bigger problems to worry about right now than going after his own people's guns. That'd be interesting to find out if any of our Canadian listeners can fill us in on that one. All right, Kevin, thanks for the call. Yeah, I enjoy your Rocky Mountain Freedom Zone podcast when I've had the chance to listen in. So thanks for calling in and listening in here as well. Ty in Billings next up on the phone lines. Ty, what's on your mind?
Hey, good morning, Aaron. I've been thinking it, and you said it, and I'm just glad you said it. Regardless of somebody's opinion on whether or not the last election was free and fair, Donald Trump spent 4 years in timeout thinking about how he was going to really affect change and take advantage of his next term. And I'm with you 100%. He has been coming out like a rock star. And then the comment towards, there's never Trumpers out there still that are just a thorn in the side. And I know that there are Christian, good Christian people that really think they got the moral high ground here. But, God used King David for stuff. And I wonder what their opinion of King David in the day would have been. And
or what about Cyrus? You know? What about Cyrus? I've had somebody say that, hey, look at Cyrus and how he was used to,
How many people on the list?
Yeah, that's right.
Donald Trump isn't a perfect man, but if you can present a policy that you disagree with, then let's have a policy conversation. He's not currently practicing in the things that Bill Clinton is probably still currently practicing in. And so, give the man praise where it's due. Have a good day.
I forget who said it. You too. I don't know if it was Jim Jordan or whoever said this, but hey, thanks for the call, Ty. That was great. They said something to the effect of, the American people have seen that Donald Trump is nowhere near as bad as they claimed that he was. And all these other people are nowhere near as good as they pretended to be. Isn't that just a perfect summary, right? It's been a remarkable 2 weeks. Let's keep it going. Keep on winning. All right, let's see. We'll have more time for your calls tomorrow. Thanks for being with us.